Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 90 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Cody Robinson.
We would have to go and contract a lot of positions. It means we would have pretty significant layoffs.
Moorhead State University is considering changes to health insurance for employees.
A civil case against a Round Circuit Court clerk has been dismissed.
A woman who allegedly attacked her ex-husband over their chihuahua is behind bars.
Another case of hepatitis A has been found in a Mount Sterling restaurant.
Candidates for the 6th District Congressional seat appeared on a KET forum last night.
In sports, the Reds face the Giants for Game 2 in San Francisco.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
Scattered thunderstorms tonight with a low around 62 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
A civil case against Rowan Circuit Court Clerk Kim Barker Tabor was dismissed this morning in Greenup County. Rowan resident Sam King filed the case questioning Barker Tabor's residency. The case was originally set to be heard in Rowan Circuit Court by a special judge this Friday. Chief Regional Judge Eddie Coleman appointed Judge Robert Conley to hear the case, who presides in Lewis and Greenup counties. Barker Tabor says she was grateful that the case was over quickly.
The first thing that popped into my head was relief that there is absolutely no question that I am a qualified candidate to run for the Brown County Circuit Clerk's office.
Barker Tabor says she believed the case was filed simply to distract her from the primary election. She faces two other Democratic hopefuls for the position, Anthony Caudill and Melissa Powers.
Administrators at Moorhead State are still considering options when it comes to health care for university employees. The Health Care Task Force presented recommendations to the Board of Regents last week that included a 26% increase in employee contribution, a move to a 70-30 shared cost ratio, and the suspension of a few popular programs like wellness incentives and the HRA. President Dr. Jay Morgan says if the cuts are not made, significant layoffs and outside contracting will be necessary.
Most universities start outsourcing in facilities management, IT, sometimes HR functions. Those are very, very difficult discussions. To find $1.6 million would be a lot of contract. And we've talked about this a lot internally, and we don't want to go with widespread contracting like other universities have done.
Morgan says officials may also look at bidding the health insurance with other vendors to see if they can cut costs.
Commonwealth Attorney Rick Bartley announced Tuesday afternoon he's seeking the death penalty against the man charged with the murder of Pikeville officer Scotty Hamilton. According to WYMT, Bartley says he will file the paperwork for the death penalty against John Russell Hall. Police say Hall shot Officer Hamilton in the Hurricane Creek community of Pike County in March. Hall spent about 36 hours on the run before police found him at a home on the Pike-Floyd County line. A pretrial conference is set for May 24th.
Police have arrested an Eastern Kentucky woman after they say she fractured her ex-husband's skull with a pool ball and stole his chihuahua. WSAZ reports the incident happened Saturday afternoon in Martin County. Witnesses say Gertie Kazee and the victim were arguing over who would keep the dog following the divorce.
And he said, "I'm just going outside to play with the baby." And Gertie said, "Well, you're not taking my dog." And she turned around and hit him on the right side behind his right ear with a pool ball inside of a pink and white sock.
Kazee then allegedly picked up the chihuahua and ran off into the woods. She had not been seen since the incident, but turned herself in to authorities this morning. The ex-husband suffered serious injuries, but is expected to be okay, because he now faces charges of second-degree assault and theft.
Two people living in a car were arrested in Johnson County last night. EKB News reports deputies spotted 40-year-old Jesse Ward and 34-year-old Ella Colvin by a shelter near Thealca Park. When deputies came to investigate, they found uncapped needles, a plastic bag containing blood, two bags with white residue, brass knuckles, and multiple items of drug paraphernalia inside the vehicle. Ward told deputies that he and Colvin were homeless and living in the park. Ward is a registered sex offender. He was convicted of second-degree rape of a 12-year-old in 2007, requiring him to maintain a residence and restricting him from going near playgrounds. Both suspects were charged with one endangerment, possession of controlled substance, possession of drug paraphernalia, trespassing, and theft of services. Ward faces additional charges of two violations of a sex offender registration, carrying a concealed weapon, and public intoxication. Both are being lodged in the Big Sandy Regional Detention Center.
Former Kentucky basketball player and state agricultural commissioner Richie Farmer will avoid jail time after pleading guilty to DUI. According to WKYT, Farmer pleaded guilty May 2nd to the charge, which was his first offense. His driver's license was suspended 30 days beginning March 22nd. He was sentenced to 30 days in jail, but it will be discharged on the condition Farmer does not receive any violations for 2 years. Farmer also faced a $739 fine, and he must attend an alcohol driver education program.
In a string of recent hepatitis A diagnoses, the Montgomery County Health Department says it responded to a case found in an employee at Lee's Famous Recipe Chicken on Evans Avenue. According to WKYT, the employee diagnosed was not directly involved in food preparation, and the risk of transmission is said to be low in this case. Officials are urging patrons of the restaurant between April 25th and May 11th to be aware of possible symptoms. The Montgomery County Health Department said on Facebook Monday that it had conducted a restaurant inspection to confirm the restaurant is following required food handling regulations. The discovery comes after five people were diagnosed with Hep A in Mount Sterling.
Kentucky's drug problem has gotten worse in the last year, according to a study released by the personal finance website WalletHub. Suzanne Duvall reports.
WalletHub ranked the states in three overall categories: drug use and addiction, law enforcement, and drug health issues and rehab. WalletHub spokeswoman Jill Gonzalez says Kentucky is the state with the ninth highest rate of drug use.
Kentucky ranks highly when it comes to drug overdose deaths per capita, and that number has actually grown year over year by about 5%, which is a pretty big number.
Kentucky was seventh among states in opioid prescriptions per capita. The District of Columbia ranked highest in drug abuse, Minnesota the lowest. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located on Triplett Street near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for recyclables. Funded in part through a grant from the Kentucky Division of Waste Management, an additional green trailer rotates among Elliottville, Farmers, Hayes Crossing, and the MMRC Fire Department on Kentucky 801 North. The rotating trailer schedule is online at moorheadrecycling.org.
By striking down a 1992 law barring most states from authorizing sports betting, the U.S. Supreme Court handed a win to advocates of expanded gambling as a route to raise revenue for cash-strapped states like Kentucky. Gaming is often cited as a potential moneymaker that could help alleviate Kentucky's mounting pension obligations. Lexington Democrat and 6th District Congressional candidate Reggie Thompson says the state should be prepared for that change.
Now, we have got to move forward in this state, and now the Supreme Court has opened that door with this decision, which was expected. Now, we need to start really putting the structure in place to do that.
Opponents of expanded gaming in Kentucky say Monday's U.S. Supreme Court decision clearing the path for the states to legalize sports betting has them concerned, but also hopeful the General Assembly will resist pressure to okay the practice in the Commonwealth.
The chairman of the state Democratic Party is encouraging candidates to use Facebook, Twitter, and email to talk directly to voters before the May 22nd primary. Chairman Ben Self is using his experience with presidential campaigns to help Kentucky's political hopefuls change the dynamic of this year's election. Self tells Spectrum News Pure Politics Democrats can't compete with the money that people like the Koch brothers have funneled to GOP candidates.
And then, of course, because of that, they got their tax cuts, right? Like, they got their payback. They invested their money in the Republican Party, and the Republican Party delivered with a tax cut, you know, for the wealthiest Kentuckians, but put on the back of the middle class. And so we don't have to compete to that because we have the power of the people. You saw this in the protests in the State House when there are thousands and thousands of teachers standing up saying, don't continue your war on education. And
Democratic candidates are running in 92 of the 100 districts across the state, and Self says that their candidates are knocking more doors than ever to reach frustrated voters.
The six Democratic candidates competing for Republican Representative Andy Barr's congressional seat sat down for their final debate last night. Tensions flared briefly between Lexington Mayor Jim Gray and retired Lieutenant Colonel Amy McGrath during the KET forum. Quizzed on whether she would back Nancy Pelosi for Speaker if the Democrats win the House, McGrath had this to say.
The Democratic Party leadership recruited and backed Jim Gray to get in the race against me. So I have no love or allegiance to them.
The retired fighter pilot repeated her mantra that a new generation needs to make its voice heard on Capitol Hill, but stopped short of committing to a no vote on Pelosi, saying she would need to see the full slate of candidates.
The city of Moorhead was urged to make its playgrounds truly all-inclusive. Crimson Claycomb of the nonprofit Kindle and Friends addressed City Council Monday evening. She says Moorhead's playgrounds ought to include equipment for children with severe disabilities. Councilman Tom Carew says the city took Claycomb's suggestions seriously.
It's something I think a lot of us don't pay attention to. You know, having handicap accessible playground equipment is probably not something people think about right away when you think about installing new playground equipment. So I'm glad that this has been brought to our attention.
The rest of the council agreed to take a deeper look at options for playground equipment for all children with or without disabilities.
The Fairview Independent School District will have a new superintendent July 1st. The Ashland Daily Independent reports the Board of Education unanimously voted Jacqueline Risden-Smith to the position after interviewing four candidates. Risden-Smith says she'd like to start becoming familiar with the district before she begins the work.
We have done a pretty extensive search. We've hired a consulting firm to do a national search, and we got some really great candidates. Last week, I assume you're aware, we had a meet and greet with two of our local candidates for the community to meet, as well as our staff.
Risden-Smith is currently chief academic officer in the Lincoln County School District. She says she's glad to move to the much smaller Fairview District to connect with the community.
For participating in the Commercial Incentive Prescriptive Custom Program, the Boyd County Middle School has been awarded a $20,000 check from Kentucky Power. Kentucky Power spokeswoman Allison Barker says schools partaking in programs like this are important.
Anytime we can install energy efficiency measures, it saves money. And when you save a school money, that frees up money that can be used for other programs.
The school earned the money through energy efficient upgrades. The school was given the check on Thursday. Taking a look at this week's weather forecast, tonight we can expect scattered showers and thunderstorms and a low of 64 degrees. The thunderstorms continue into the tomorrow morning with a high near 81 degrees. And tomorrow night will be cloudy and a 20% chance of rain, a low of 64. Thursday morning, we can expect more thunderstorms and a high near 76. And Thursday night, some cloudy skies and an 80% chance of rain later that night, the low of 65 degrees. Friday morning, a mix of clouds and sunshine, a 60% chance of rain and a high of 76. Current temperatures are 88 degrees in Flemingsburg, 90 degrees in Lexington, 89 degrees in Winchester, 88 degrees in Inez, 90 degrees in Ashland, and 90 degrees here in Moorhead.
On our feature segment today, the Ashland Boys Basketball Program has hired a new head coach. WMKY's Braxton Howard has more.
Jason Mays has been tabbed to lead the storied program. Ashland Athletic Director Mark Swift says Mays is a home run hire and brings an impressive background with him.
He does. We feel fortunate that he's our next head basketball coach. Certainly he comes highly recommended, and through the process really felt like he was both the best candidate, and we're looking forward to the leadership that he'll provide for our program.
The 42-year-old Mays comes to Ashland with plenty of college coaching experience. He was an assistant at Georgetown College from 2000 to 2007, stepped away from coaching in 2008 before returning to the sidelines as an assistant at Valdosta State in Georgia from 2015 to 2017. Mays returned to the state last year as an assistant at Kentucky Wesleyan before eventually taking over as head coach when Happy Osborne resigned in the middle of the season. Swift says that experience is what made Mays stand out.
I mean, I love his experience. I love the fact that he has folks that I talked to, his relationship with his players was paramount, and I think that's extremely important.
Ashland's coaching search lasted over 5 weeks, and Swift says that's because narrowing down the list of applicants was a difficult job.
Very difficult. We had a number of, I think we had 30-plus applicants, and of those, we had a number of very qualified applicants.
Mays takes over the program from Jeremy Howell, who was fired after 3 seasons, compiling a 53-35 record. Going 24-6 last season, that includes a trip to the regional championship game. Mays will be the Tomcats' third coach in 5 years, but Swift says he's taking over a program already in great shape for the future.
We think we're in good shape. Our 7th grade went undefeated. Our 9th grade went undefeated. Our JV lost one game. Of course, we lost 6 at the varsity level. We did lose 2 seniors, both of which were important pieces to the program, but we still feel like that the program's in robust condition.
Ashland is hoping Mays will help bring them their 32nd regional championship. The Tomcats are currently in their longest drought without a regional title in the program's history, having not won one since 2002, despite playing in the regional championship game 7 times in that span. For WMKY Sports, I'm Braxton Howard.
It's 4:46 and 90 degrees on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall with Cody Robinson. We just want to say thank you for joining us on this Tuesday afternoon. Tilden Johnson is going to have sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Fiscal Court, keeping our community a safe and enjoyable place to live and work while moving forward in a progressive but responsible manner. County services include the detention center, road department, ambulance service, and animal control. In addition, funding for the airport, parks and recreation, economic development council, and other community organizations provided under the guidance by the elected officials of the Rowan County Fiscal Court.
The Reds are back at it. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. The Cincinnati Reds will try to get back in the win column tonight when they take on the Giants after dropping Game 1 of the series 10-7 last night. The Reds may be without All-Star first baseman Joey Votto, who left last night's game with a back injury. Reds interim manager Jim Riggleman says Votto is being evaluated to see if he is healthy enough to go.
He let me know before the game it was nagging a little bit, and he insisted, you know, I want to play, and just really looked uncomfortable. So we decided to get him out of there. I don't know. You know, we'll look at it tomorrow. He'll be working with the trainer tonight, and then when he comes in tomorrow, we'll reevaluate it. But we may end up giving him a day.
Tyler Molly will take the ball for the Reds on the mound. Ty Block goes for the Giants. Both pitchers are 3-4 on the year. First pitch is set for 10-15. In some other MLB news, the Seattle Mariners all-star second baseman Robinson Cano has been suspended for 80 games for violating baseball's joint drug agreement. Cano tested positive for furosemide, which is a diuretic. In a statement released through the Players Association, Cano says, "This substance was given to me by a licensed doctor in the Dominican Republic to treat a medical ailment." He said he didn't realize the drug was banned. And the St. Louis Cardinals have placed Adam Wainwright back on the 10-day disabled list after the right-hander struggled with velocity in his last start and needed to pause to get it right. The 36-year-old Wainwright also was on the DL with elbow inflammation before returning Sunday in San Diego. But he lasted just 2 1/3 innings in the Cardinals' 5-3 loss to the Padres. Wainwright is 1-3 with an ERA of 4.0 in 4 starts this season. The Morehead State baseball team returns home for Game 1 of its final 4 regular season games of 2018. At 31-21 on the year, and with the OVC tournament fast approaching, MSU coach Mike McGuire says his team's success will come down to the play of his pitching staff.
The strength of our club at this point is our offense. That is the strength of our club. And our pitching needs to understand that we've got to do enough on the mound to give ourselves a chance, and you know, I'll take our chances with our offense. You know, we just we've got to fill the strike zone up, and make plays behind them. If we do those things, I think we can play with anybody. But we're showing when we don't throw the ball across the plate, you know, we can't beat anybody.
The Eagles battle Western Carolina tomorrow at 4. They then close out the regular season with a 3-game series with 16th-ranked Tennessee Tech Thursday through Sunday. Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals tips off tonight at 8:30 when the Cavaliers visit Boston. The Celtics blew out Cleveland 108-83 in Game 1. Cavaliers forward LeBron James was held in check, scoring just 15 points, but he expects a better game tonight.
They did a great job of communicating throughout the whole game, you know, knowing where I was, knowing where our teammates was, and, you know, Brad and the coaching staff did a great job in Game 1, and, you know, you commend that, and, you know, we have an opportunity to look at a lot of film. I see ways they was making us uncomfortable, making myself, you know, off balance and not have a rhythm all game. So we'd be much better in game two.
The Warriors got one step closer to reaching a fourth straight NBA final last night by defeating the Houston Rockets 119-106 in game one of the Western Finals. Also tonight in the NBA, the draft lottery order will be drawn at 7:30. After going 21-61, the Phoenix Suns have the best odds of landing the number one pick. One of the players hoping to hear their name called in the lottery of this summer's draft is former Kentucky player Kevin Knox, who turned pro after one season in Lexington after contemplating a return to the Big Blue. Kevin Knox says, though, he still isn't sure if he will participate in the draft combine.
It's just been my lifelong dream. I mean, a lot of people say I could have came back next year and been a higher pick, but I mean, I'm a lottery pick this year. That's what they say. So I just want to make sure that was my dream. I've always dreamed of going on that stage, and I mean, why not go when you have the chance? So I just want to make it happen this year. I might go up there and play. I mean, it's good to go against some great college players and get some good feedback from the scouts. So I haven't decided yet, but I'll decide come in a couple weeks.
That's Knox on WLAP. ESPN's latest mock draft projects three Kentucky players to hear their names called in this summer's draft, with Shea Gilgeous-Alexander projected 12th, Kevin Knox going 15th, and Hamadou Diallo projected as a second-round pick. The Kentucky football staff has found a quarterback for its 2019 recruiting class. 5'11", 185-pound, three-star Florida prep quarterback Nick Scalzo committed to UK yesterday. He picked the Cats over reported offers from Illinois, Tulane, Akron, Buffalo, Cornell, Kent State, and others. He announced the commitment via his personal Twitter account. Scalzo is ranked the number 16 dual-threat quarterback in his class, according to the 247 Sports Composite. According to NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, Jerry Richardson, the owner of the Carolina Panthers, completed the sale of the franchise to hedge fund manager David Tepper today. A vote will take place at the NFL Spring League meeting in Atlanta next week. All potential deals have to be approved by both the NFL Financial Committee and 24 of the 32 owners. According to Pro Football Talk, Eli Manning has settled with the New York Giants on what was to be the first day of trial. Manning was accused of selling game-worn memorabilia that had never been worn during a game. And lastly in sports, the Kentucky Derby winner prepares to head east for the second jewel of horse racing's Triple Crown. Paul Miles reports from Churchill Downs.
Following a morning gallop by his star colt, trainer Bob Baffert is confident that Justify has overcome a minor foot bruise that developed after the Derby.
We deal with these issues constantly in horse racing, and so, I was never really, I would have stayed. If I would have thought it was, you know, I would have stayed here all week.
Justify will ship to Baltimore on Wednesday. His challengers in Saturday's Preakness Stakes include Derby runner-up Good Magic. I'm Paul Miles.
Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Baseball welcomes Western Carolina at 4 p.m. on Wednesday, May 16th. They will close out their regular season hosting Tennessee Tech for three games, May 17th through the 19th. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks dropped sharply after Home Depot reported quarterly sales that fell short of Wall Street's expectations and interest rates breached new highs. And the Dow Industrials snapped an eight-day winning streak today, finishing with a loss of 193 at 24,706.41. The S&P 500 was down 18.68 at 2711.45, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 59.69 at 7351.63. The decline in U.S. equities came after Home Depot reported first quarter earnings that beat Wall Street's expectations, but its sales missed estimates thanks to what the company categorized as a slow start to spring sales, and Home Depot was down 1.6%. Microsoft and Google parent Alphabet both pulled back more than 1%, and that helped trigger weakness in the NASDAQ Composite Index, which, of course, is dominated by big tech stocks. Stocks also slipped after the Commerce Department reported retail sales increased 0.3% in April. This was down from 0.8% that was gained in March, and, of course, the March reading was revised higher. But this was a solid read on consumer spending, and this was accompanied by an uptick in interest rates today, and this is a move some market watchers blame for a further decline in stocks. The benchmark U.S. Treasury yield actually hit 3.09%, which was its highest reading since 2011, and the 10-year yield is especially important to investors given its role as a barometer for mortgage rates and other financial instruments. The dollar index, which tracks the dollar against a basket of other currencies, was up 0.7% at 93.23. Overseas, the stocks Europe 600 was largely unchanged after data revealed a deceleration in euro area economic growth to 0.4% in the first quarter, down from 0.7% in the fourth quarter of last year. Oil was up 0.3% today at $71.16 a barrel. Gold, because of the strength of the dollar, took a hit today. Gold was down 2% at $1,292.40 an ounce. The Stock 600 index in Europe was up less than 0.1%, so it was very quiet in European trading. In the Far East, stocks were weak. The Nikkei was down 0.2%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 1.25%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Nike and Disney. The worst performers were Intel and Caterpillar. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Mattel and Symantec, and the worst performers were Agilent Technologies and D.R. Horton. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 75 cents at 75.45, CSX down 29 cents at 62.61, AEP down 32 cents at 66.79, AK Steel up 4 cents at 4.44, Marathon Petroleum down 60 cents at 77.28, and U.S. Bancorp is down 6 cents to finish at 51.12. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Regional on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made-from-scratch cakes, pies, and cookies, cinnamon rolls, scones, quiche, and muffins. Daily lunch menu with a variety of sandwiches, soups, and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe is open Wednesday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Lunch reservations and orders by phone at 606-780-4282.
Taking another look at this week's weather forecast. Tonight it'll be some scattered showers and thunderstorms and a low of 64 degrees. Those thunderstorms will continue in the morning and a high near 81. And tomorrow night it'll be cloudy and a 20% chance of rain, lows around 64 degrees. Thursday morning some more thunderstorms and a high near 76. And Thursday night some cloudy skies and an 80% chance of rain later that night and a low near 65. Friday morning, it'll be a mix of clouds and sunshine and a 60% chance of rain and a high near 78 degrees. Friday night, it'll be partly cloudy skies with showers later in the night and a low of 63 degrees.
Taking a look at some events coming up in your region, the Moorhead Community Federal Credit Union will hold their annual meeting from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Moorhead Conference Center on Thursday, May 17th. Celebrating 40 years of service, members are invited to enjoy food, refreshments, and enter to win cash and door prizes. An update on the credit union will be shared and members will vote for the board of directors. There is no cost to attend.
The third annual Round County Christmas Jingle Bell 5K will be held at the Clyde A. Thomas Regional Airport at 8 a.m. on Saturday, May 19th. Entry fee is $25. Prizes awarded to the top three male and female finishers in several age groups.
The Clay Community Center in Mount Sterling will host a Touch a Truck fundraiser from noon to 3 p.m. on Sunday, May the 20th. The event provides visitors with an opportunity to climb, touch, sit on, and explore vehicles of all kinds, including fire trucks, police cars, tractors, ambulances, and more. Admission is $10 per vehicle, up to 7 people. Proceeds will benefit the Montgomery County Turf Project. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Sean Delaney, Jacob Lindberg, Chaz Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson. KNN's Suzanne Duvall, WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, And our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Braxton Howard. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BHINS. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Cody Robinson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.